I went and taught at Miller Sunnybury campus a couple of years ago. They asked me to do teach on philosophy of youth ministry. I'm like, great, that's been my whole life, and that's something I'm comfortable with. So I went and taught on that, and all the students in my class were, anywhere from 19 to 20 years old. And then right front middle, like right there, was this older man, gray hair, and just as eager and ready to go and almost vibrating, like he was just so excited. And that was Cam Capozzi, who was saved in prison. Miller took him on, and it showed confidence in him. And man, this guy, I didn't know about this. He's just serving the Lord, just amazing. Oh, man, I just feel like I want to, anyway, I'm so excited right now. Thanks, Kelly. You can come anytime and open the service if you want. Just ready to go. Yeah, well, if we can open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 12 this morning. We sang one hymn, What a Day That Will Be, When My Jesus I Will See, Look Upon His Face, and what? Save me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day that will be. You know, I was just sitting here just smiling. I don't know if the choir noticed, but I just like, if just for a moment, just how I see from a macro point of view how the service is put together and how the Lord does that. It's absolutely amazing. As a kid, and probably many of you have done this, you've played a game called hide and go seek, right? We've all played it. And the key phrase of that game is what? Ready or not, here I come. So as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, there are some fundamental points to this game. One is the it. The it is the person who's counting and going and seeking, right? That person is coming to find, no matter what. That is a guarantee that the person who is it, you can count on it. It is a certainty that that person is coming to find. The second thing is the it, they're coming when they are ready. When they're good and ready, that's when the it is going to come. The third thing is the person who is it is going to come whether you're ready or not. And then the fourth thing is when you're not ready and the person comes, you're going to pay the consequences, aren't you? You're going to get caught almost like red-handed because you're not quite ready. It's amazing to me how some of these points about this fun little game that we talk about and play all as a kid and maybe even when we're older with our grandkids or whatever has incredible and fundamental similarities to the scriptures. You know, we've all done it. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Ready or not, here I come. And off you go. And I know none of us here peaked while we're counting. You know, none of us would have done that. 1,000, 2,000, ready or not, here I come. You know, I just thinking about these things and I want you to hold on to some of those thoughts as we go through the text this morning in the next 30 or so minutes. But first, let's read the text, shall we? Luke chapter 12, 35 to 48. Now, the subtitle in my Bible, the uninspired one, says, you must be ready. I think that's very, very, very fitting. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When was the last time, let's be honest now, when was the last time we thought about seeing Jesus face to face? When was the last time? Prophecy, knowing this truth that Jesus will come again, is future certainty. It's history in the future. It's going to happen. It is a certainty that we can hold on to and have confidence in that Christ will return. That is a certainty. What a day that will be. When was the last time you thought about it? We must be ready. Verse 35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may be open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. As we go through, count how many times the word blessed is mentioned and in what context. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. Verse 38. If he comes in second watch or on the third watch and finds them awake, what? Blessed are those servants. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house has known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Verse 40, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. Now, before we move on, if there's any one verse in this text, if there's any one verse as we look at this entire text, that we should look for what's called the big idea, okay, as one of the fundamentals of preaching and studying the word. Look for the big idea. What is the author saying and what can I learn from it? Okay, it helps kind of push away all the minutia details that are there because you can focus on the big idea. Verse 40 right here is the big idea. So if you're underlining, circling, highlighting, fluorescent lights, I don't know what you're going to put around there, this one verse. This is it. This is the big idea. You must be ready. That's the point. So if we leave here today, if there's anything that you will remember, remember this, be ready, Christ is coming. It's coming. Remember, prophecy is future history. What a day that will be when, what? My Jesus, I will or shall see. Okay, let's go on. Now, the reason why I say that is because it's from 41 on to the little to the end part here, 48, where we can maybe get caught up in some things that might be a little confusing. So I'm going to do my best to kind of manage this material today. But as we walk out of this place, the big idea is what? You must be ready. Okay, that is the big idea. That's what we're going to walk away with. Okay, now we're going to get in verse 41 to 48. This will be fun. The Lord said, okay, catch this question now. The Lord said, are you telling this parable for us, Jesus, or for everybody? Who is this parable for? It's a great question. The Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if a servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at that hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces and put him in with the unfaithful. Whew, kind of cringed when I read that for the first time. Verse 47. And the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to the will receive a severe beating. Verse 48. And the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given of him, much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand even more. We must be ready. We must be ready. Ready for what? That's a great question. Verse 40 says, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is where we have to understand that Scripture is certainty. Now, with this verse, it provides two different things. It provides certainty and uncertainty at the exact same time, doesn't it? We know that Christ is coming, but there's a but we don't know when he is coming. Now, I have had many interesting conversations regarding Christ's second coming here in this church. And remember, there is certainty and what? Uncertainty. So we got the certainty that Christ is coming again. Amen? Amen. But then we've got the uncertainty part, that we don't know when. Now, I've seen a whole range of emotions talking about this subject, both anger, frustration, excitement, all of these things. And maybe even right now, some of you are experiencing some anxiousness. Where am I going to go with this at this moment? I want to focus on the certainty, as I think the rest of us should. Christ is coming again. For that is an absolute certainty. When it comes to the uncertain parts, I want to throw out an absolute caution. When there's people writing charts, putting dates down behind me, such as this, where they're holding up all these things and put a little X and an arrow that Christ is going to come here, I would just ask you to go to this passage. That's weird, because you're telling me Christ is coming here, but here Jesus himself says no one knows the day or the hour. That's weird. So there's a caution that I want to throw out there when talking about what's called eschatology. Eschatology is basically knowledge or study of the end times. Let's be very careful when we talk about that. We can have our opinions, and I'm just going to throw it out there for those who want to know. Okay, I believe that Christ is literally coming back. That's where I stand. You know, and I think that with that certainty, we can hold it in a primary doctrine, because it is with that knowledge that Kelly is out sharing the gospel on the streets. We must be ready. There's people out there that don't know Jesus, and it is with that excitement, it's with that courage, it's with that knowledge that he's living out what I consider the everyday commission, not the great commission. I'd like to rearrange that, the everyday commission, because we got a job to do. Now, upon saying that, I didn't see anyone here in this room, so I'm not going to talk about anyone specifically. But if you think I'm talking about you, I'm sorry. Whenever the study of eschatology comes up, I see the eyes roll. A lot of people, oh my goodness, here he goes again. Or here's that subject again, and the eyes roll. I'm a pan-millennialist. It'll all pan out in the end, I hear. Well, I wouldn't amen that after I'd say this. Here's the deal. With that certainty and with that confidence, we should have that idea and mentality that Christ is coming back and we must be ready. There's some excitement and there's some, you know, eager beavers, if we can call it that, that'll go out and try to figure all this eschatology stuff out. And then there's the other side. So you got the one side that's really anxious and is looking and is doing all they can to sort out all these details. And then you got the other side that says, it'll all work out. Who gives a rip anyway? It's going to happen how it's going to happen. And although I understand that, it's almost a pushback from this other side where we land here. And this is the opposite, although I think that setting those dates and those charts and getting all excited about, at least you can have a conversation here and you can get excited. Over here with those who are, you know, the what I will call the indifferent crowd, I think when we get indifferent about the return of Jesus, We get indifferent about our ministry. The byproduct can be dangerous, and I'm not saying this in particularly with anyone in any individual here. But let us not, and I say that with incredible, almost a plea, and I beg you, please do not get indifferent on Christ's return. Please don't. When the eyes roll and we get sarcastic and all of those things and comments about those people, and then on the flip side of those people, let's look at this text this morning with anticipation, with excitement, and like, yeah, you know, like, it's like you want to cheer after a goal is scored and everybody's so excited at a hockey game, but when we talk about the return of Christ, it's silent. I don't get that. I don't understand it. Here we are as Christians, as disciples of Christ. We hang on to every word that Jesus says, and he says he's coming back. Now, we don't know when, but he's coming back, so be ready. So in verse 35, yeah, I've just started. Here, hold on. So in verse 35, he says, get dressed and be ready. I'm going to blast through these. Here, there's some illustrations here that Jesus is turning around to the disciples, remembering that Jesus is coaching his disciples after a pretty tense encounter with the Pharisees on marks of a disciple. A mark of a disciple of Christ is you will be ready. That's a mark. That's a mark of a disciple of Christ. You will be ready. So as they left this tense meeting with the Pharisees and with the lawyers, Jesus is like, whoa, it's getting tense, boys, let's go. And he starts talking to his disciples and he said, look, a mark that we need to remember that will identify a Christian is that they live in constant readiness. So be dressed for it. Be dressed for it. Now, it's some versions that may say, gird up your loins. I just don't like the word loin. It just like, I don't know. It just gets me, I don't like that word. I like dress for action better. But what it means literally is that back in the day of Jesus, they had long gowns up, and they would have to pull up their gown part and tuck it in their belt so that their legs would be exposed. Why? So that they can run at any moment. You dress for readiness. Be ready to move. Get ready. Have your eyes open. Be dressed for action. And keep the lamps burning. The lamp, that's pretty easy. The lamp only has one purpose, and that's to give light. Whenever we have people come at night here in Red Deer, where it gets dark in the wintertime at what time? Like 3 in the afternoon? Like what? What do you do? When you're expecting company, what do you do? Turn on the light so that they can see your house. They can see the number. You're getting ready for company. You have that lamp burning. Be dressed for action. Then he jumps in and he says, here's the third illustration. Be like a man who's waiting for their master to come home after a wedding feast. These wedding feasts at that time, there was no beginning. There was no end. It could go on for a long time. You simply don't know when they're coming back. But the servant was always watching, always waiting for the master to come home. It's like those babysitters. When you babysat for anyone, you would sit there and wait for the parents to come home, and you would always be watching. You'd make sure that all your duties were done and you're clean and you're expecting the parents to come home. It's exactly the same way it is with Jesus. We are getting everything ready because Christ is coming back. We don't know when. So be like that servant who the master is away and is coming back. It's the exact same difference. We get into the fourth illustration. I'm just going to, as you see, I'm going to be just blasting through this. Verse 37, blessed are those servants. There's that blessed word, okay? Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table and he will come and serve them. There's the thing. When you're ready, you will be blessed. If there's a measure of readiness for when the master comes, there is blessing. It's just an obvious and intellectual thing that we can arrive to when you look at the text. If you're ready, you'll be blessed. If you're ready, you'll be blessed. Says it 3 times. If you're ready, you'll be blessed. Be ready. Be ready. So that's the third illustration. The fourth illustration, he goes kind of on the flip side of the argument now, uses kind of a negative standpoint, doesn't he? Now, this comment here in verse 39, it's used several times in Scripture, talking about the thief in the night, and that's a useful metaphor when it calls to being ready. Now, verse 39 says, "But know this, that if the master of the house has known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into." Right? That's an obvious thing. If you knew your house was going to be broken into, you're going to be standing at the ready. You're going to be always watching. Here's the thing. We know Jesus is coming. So are you ready? Are you ready? Now, this thief in the night business. Let's talk about that for a moment. If anyone has lived in Bible college and shared a fridge with anyone, you know what it's like to have a thief in the night, don't you? Yeah, I already got some pictures. If you've shared a fridge with anyone, you know what it's like to have a thief in the night. Bible college, one of the biggest commodities is having milk and butter for your mac and cheese. Like, that's like, that was golden. If you had milk and butter, you just know that the next day I'm going to be feasting on that mac and cheese when it's liver and onions night at school. Okay? You just know that that's what we're going to do. But the problem is 68 other guys think the exact same thing. And when you live in a dorm with a common fridge with one kitchen, and there's nothing like coming back to the dorm and you're just getting pumped, you grab your KD and you grab your pot and you go to the kitchen, you open it up and you pick up the milk and it's a lot lighter than what it was. I'm like, what? We all know what it's like to be victimized, so to speak, by the victim of by a thief in the night. And here's the cool thing. We don't have to be caught and be a victim, do we? We know that Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's keep going. So verse 40, here's the key, the big idea verse. This is the one you're circling or underlining. He says, "You must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." But this was 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? He hasn't come then. He's not going to come now. And you're kind of, you know, you just are getting to a place where you just, he's probably not going to come today. It's been 2,000 years. I read of a story out of Reader's Digest. I don't know if it's true or just an illustration, but it's a story of a gunner on a World War II vessel on the Atlantic Ocean. He was new. And he was told that whenever he goes to have a shower, to always have his clothes next to him at all times. Because if there's an attack, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you grab your clothes and then you head to your post because you got to defend the vessel. Well, I don't know, again, I don't know if this is a true story, but it probably has some truthfulness to it. But it's been weeks, and this person who had gone on the vessel had never seen an attack or a battle, and he kind of got lazy, maybe indifferent to the idea that there might be one. Well, sure enough, that day where he decided, I'll just leave my clothes in my bunk and I'll go have a shower, was the moment that there was an attack. And all he could find was his helmet. And so he had to run out, stark naked, caught unaware. He wasn't prepared and he wasn't ready, and he had to face the battle and was humiliated at the same time. Kind of funny illustration, but yet there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? Don't be caught off guard. It has been 2,000 years, but here's the funny thing about time and God. It doesn't even connect. For a day is like 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is like a day. Right? So when it comes to time, we should just be always on the ready. Let God worry about when he's coming back. We've got a job to do, then let's do it. So, here we go. How do we be ready? The first thing is, we have to, if you're sitting here today, here's some key points. To be ready, is to know Jesus first. To be saved, as Christians say, from our sin. If you don't know Jesus this morning, may you know this, that we've got an incredible debt with God that we cannot pay. That debt is sin. Sin has caused, the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. The bad news is that we cannot pay that debt. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus can. And he did. And by faith through grace, you can have that debt paid for you. And one of the first things that you can do to be ready is to know Christ today. Know his forgiveness. Will you do that? Will you be ready? Please don't leave this space, if you don't know Jesus, than to make him Lord of your life now. Amen. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. So the first thing is salvation. Know Jesus. The second thing that we can do to be ready is serve him. So just like we are... here, let me tell you another Reader's Digest illustration, shall we? I was into this week. There was a guy in I think, the 30s or 40s. Again, I'm not sure if this is an illustration or true. Was applying for a job, and I just lost, maybe you can help me. It's where you're tapping to send a message. Telegraph? Telegraph, okay. So he was applying for this telegraph job. Would that be about the right time? 30s, 40s? I think it would be. And so he came into the office and he heard the tap, 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 tap. Just going on, just tap, 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 tap. And he heard all this message and he took his resume, put it on the desk, and the person said, oh, that's great, we're doing interviews today. I would like you to go sit down. And he sat down and there was probably about 15 other people who were applying for this job at the same time. Awkward, right? Now it's a big tension. Well, he sat there for a few moments and then out of the blue, this guy had the nerve to stand up and walk right into the office, bypassing the other guys that were in this room at that time. Bypassed them. Completely got up. Didn't even look at them. No eye contact. Walked straight in. And the other people who were in the waiting room was like, what is up? How could you do that? That's so rude, right? Well, just a few minutes later, the person who was doing the hiring came out and said to everybody, thank you for applying. Really appreciate your interest in this job. But now you can all go home. We have just hired this gentleman here. The guy who got up and walked through. And everybody's jaws were on the ground saying, like, how can you do that? You didn't even interview us. Well, little did anybody know that as this gentleman was walking in the room and heard that tap, 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 he interpreted it at the same time and he said, whoever could understand this message, please come into the office. You have just got the job. They were waiting, but he was listening. He was watching. The same thing is for us today as believers. Let us not just wait. Let us be active. Be thinking, watching, waiting, looking. That's the second thing. The third thing is to live in a state that Jesus is coming back very soon. It's not just an action, it's a mindset, isn't it? It's living in a perpetual state where we're always knowing that it could be now. It could be now. It could be now. Right? We're always in a position where we're ready to go. It's a mindset. It's the way that we think. It's our MO, the modus operandi. It's how we function as Christians, knowing and believing. Jesus said, look, I'm coming back. You don't know when, but I'm coming back. And we as Christians say, I believe you. I believe you. And with my actions, I will show it. So the first part, how do we be ready, is by salvation. The second is by service, by being active, by using our gifts. We're not just sitting around. Knowing that Jesus can come back at any time is not a license to be lazy and kicking back. God has equipped us. We're all part of the body of Christ. We have a function. We are to work together until Christ comes back. So that's service. And then the third thing is that he is coming back and soon. Now, verse 41. Here we go. Verse 41. Now I see that I'm halfway through my notes and I got 5 minutes, so stick with me here. Peter said, he asked the question now, just heard all of this that we just talked about. And he said, Lord, who are you talking to? And then he rolls off this parable, doesn't he? Talking about the servant who will be blessed. And then there's a servant who gets cut up into pieces and put with the unfaithful. And then there's another servant that gets a beating. And then the last servant that gets a very light beating. Have you ever asked a question with somebody and then turned around and said, did I get an answer? Like, did he just answer me? I think Jesus is genius in his answer here. All right, so Dave, I know you're smiling. Here's my answer. We were talking about this week. I think he's speaking to both the disciples and to the crowd. I think he's speaking to everyone. Both. It's both and. Now, I wrote down some things here that will be a challenge to get through. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household? So, here's the deal. Jesus responds to Peter's question by giving an example of four different people. Okay? It's kind of similar in a way to Jesus' parable of the soils. There's one good example, and then there's three bad ones. So we all know that parable very well. So if we look at this text with that similarity where there's one good example and then there's three bad ones, and if we're going to stand here and ask, well, is he talking to Christians or non-Christians? The answer is yes. If you're ready, you will be blessed. If you're not ready, there will be consequences. And that's for everyone. Did you catch that? If you're ready, you will be blessed. If you're not ready, there will be consequences. Now, as we go through this, there's some absolute incredible details that if you ever want to sit down over coffee with me, I would love to wrestle through this text with you. But because of time, we don't have that opportunity today, which in a sense, I'm kind of thankful for. Let's look at this. So you got the first example. Real quick. Who then is the faithful and wise manager with the master will set over his household to give them a portion of food at the proper time? Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. So here you got the first example, which is the good one. This person was ready. And he was blessed. Okay, that's end of story. Let's keep going. Verse 45. But if the servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the servant will come on the day when he does not expect him and at the hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Some pretty graphic language there. It's unpleasant. In fact, it makes me kind of cringe, doesn't it? That's kind of awful. Well, that whole cut into pieces simply means this, separate, set apart. When we are not ready, there is consequences. Now, in this type of instance, it seems to be a little bit more than not ready. It seems to be an element where they're choosing not to be ready. There's a sense of defiance here that requires a pretty severe punishment. There's a sense of arrogance there. Well, you can see it. They were abusing, saying, oh, the master's not coming back. He's taking his authority and abusing those that were under him, and then using that circumstance for their own well-being, confusing the whole idea of the master coming back and be ready. Could it be that he's actually referencing the Pharisees and the lawyers who he just had a discussion about, saying they're getting the message wrong and they know it? They're using a religious system to justify their own actions and they know it. Consequences for them will be certainly ugly. Let's keep going. Verse 45, we're getting there. But if a servant says to himself, my master is delayed in his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and get drunk. Did I just read that? Sorry, I just read it. Verse 47. Here's the third illustration. So the first illustration is the one who was ready and was blessed. The second one was defiant and was severely paid a price. The third illustration is this, verse 47, and the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will would receive a severe beating. Could this be that those who know that Jesus is coming but just don't have the time in their minds to get ready? Oh, I got other things to worry about. I got to get my retirement together. Although I know Jesus and love Jesus, I've got hobbies that I got to, you know, kind of do first. And I want to get the backyard done. And I still got some traveling plans in my mind. So I'll get to lordship in a little bit. But right now, I'm just not there. So it's not right outright defiance like the first group. It's the second group that says, I just simply don't have time. Well, here it says, as a result, they will receive a severe beating. So it seems like the consequences are getting less severe. You got blessed, cut into pieces, separated. Then you've got a severe beating here, which is interesting. And then the third one, verse 48. Verse 48. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. So then you got those who are in ignorance, who just doesn't have the chance of being discipled yet or something that, but still is doing something wrong. They haven't had the opportunity to get ready because they didn't know. So there's a level of ignorance here, which there's still consequences, but there seems to be a regression of the severity. And as a result, their punishment will be light. So that was my 5-minute attempt to get through those 8 verses. But I think you can see there's the idea is be ready, you'll be blessed. If you're not ready, there's consequences. There's consequences. The big idea is to be ready. Now, the last part. Everyone to whom much was given, much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Here's the thing. All of us in this room today have been entrusted with the message of the gospel. We have been given much. We have been given the truth in the scriptures right here that Jesus is coming back. What people fail to remember and which causes me concern is that we've forgotten what happened in Genesis chapter 6. And there are those who want to take Genesis 1 through 6 and make it a nice poem or allegory, when in fact it is historical narrative. And I'm talking about a time when God judged severely, and that is with water and caused a worldwide flood. God who created has the right to judge. There is a promise in Scripture that he will come again. And there will be those who will be found faithful and who will be ready and will be blessed. And then there will be those who will be found not ready and will receive judgment. The question is today, are you ready? I'm going to close with one last illustration. And I believe this is a true story. During one of the expeditions to the Antarctic, Sir Ernest Shackleton left some men of his on an island called Elephant Island. He did this with the intent of returning for them, but because of weather, he was delayed. By the time he could get back to them, the sea had frozen and there was no access to the island whatsoever. He tried and he tried and he tried again. There was no access to the island. Just could not get through. Finally, on one of his another attempts to get through this ice wall, he broke through and found a narrow channel. Much to his surprise, get this, he found the crewman waiting for him with the supplies all packed, waiting at the beach, ready to go. All of them were ready to go, just could not wait to get off this island. They were soon on board and heading their way back to England. After they were on their way, the captain of the boat, Shackleton, came down to talk to the boys, and he was quite surprised, and he asked them, how did they know to be all packed and ready on that day? How did they know? They told them, well, they didn't know. They were uncertain as to when they would come back for him. But they did know that he would return, for that was certain. So every morning, the group's leader rolled up his bag, packed his gear, and told the crew to do the same thing. And he said this, okay, boys, pack your stuff. Boss is coming today, probably. Probably. This is a good lesson for us today as we close this message. We should plan each day for an eternal voyage. Every single day. We are called to lay up our treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there our heart will be also. We are children of the living God. We are disciples of Christ. Jesus said he is returning. And are we ready? 1 1,000. 2 1,000. 3 1,000. Ready or not, he is coming. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can come and listen to the preaching of your word and sitting under the teaching of your Holy Spirit in our lives, where today he revealed a very stark truth, and we're thankful. Lord, I just pray that we would have a passion in our gut, in our just the very core of who we are as Christians, to live out the everyday commission because, A, you've commanded it, and B, we know that you're coming back. We just don't know when. So may we have a sense of positive anxiousness for that coming. May we also have a sense of holy dissatisfaction that you would convict us if we're not ready. Lord, you have called us to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to see if indeed we are one of your children. Lord, I pray that that would be done this morning. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. You are God and our King. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.